I don't know if you noticed, if you realized, but today is exactly 7 weeks since we had our last sharing of the scripture in English language. 7 weeks. It passed so quickly, but for some of us maybe a little bit too long. And I really want to express my appreciation for your patience. And also, today I feel very emotional, I should say spiritually emotional, because of our first meeting on the internet between Romania, Australia and California. And that was quite a delightful moment, and it was wonderful to share the scripture and to have prayer together. And it was just wonderful to realize that among so many people that are involved in the most modern technical ways and means of communicating, there are at least some faithful and zealous Christians that will use it to share the message of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ among ourselves and also to reach out to the others. May we all be joined in prayers and thanksgiving to the Lord, that the Lord would bless further that ministry and use it, as I mentioned last night, as the roads from Rome in the days of the apostolic preaching and the first days of and first years of the New Testament teaching. There were quite a few roads, highways, from Rome to the other big cities of the Roman Empire. These roads were built by tears and sweat and blood of the slaves. And these roads were kept that and maintained and made available for the Roman Emperor Caesar to be militarily present in every part of his empire just about any moment, to keep that empire strictly under his control. Well, it didn't last for long. He lost that control. One emperor and then another and then another and then another, and finally the empire fell apart to fulfill probably the prophecies of the prophet Daniel, or to fulfill the prophecy of Enoch, the seventh man of Adam, from Adam, the seventh generation, that said, "The Lord is coming with the multitudes of the heavenly host, and he will reward all the godless people for their godless deeds and their godless words and their godless living." It was a strong prophecy so long ago, way back, short time after the people had to leave the Garden of Eden. Well, these same roads that, as I said, were built by the heavy labor often unto death, by the slaves, the people that were debased so much that they were treated worse than animals. Finally, these roads received their good purpose of existence, their good application, so to say, good use of them. On the same roads, the Christians were walking and hasting back and forth and spreading the news of the gospel to the whole world of that great Roman Empire. And the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was growing and growing and growing bigger. It became that huge stone that the prophet Daniel saw in the dream of Nebuchadnezzar the king, and hit the Roman Empire's right into the foundation of it, and it fell apart. And what happened to the gospel? It continued spreading. Well, today we have the gospel still spreading, but we don't see many people gathering. We don't see too many seeking the salvation of the Lord. God only knows why that is so, but I think the word of God has to be fulfilled. But those few that are gathering around the word of God are so precious, are so dear. It's so good to share the love of the Lord face to face, heart to heart, but it's also good to share it over the internet. Let there be a spiritual internet of hearts and minds joined in Christ and united in that one desire. All that is available, all that we have in our hands, even our poverty, even our difficulties, even our tragedies in this life, everything that we have here, every moment of time, every grain of our strength, every penny in our pocket, use to serve the Lord, to minister to one another, to reach out to the others. As we say in that model prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Well, with this brief sharing of that experience with you, I would like to ask you to bear with me if at some moments I, in my weakness, lose control over my emotions. May the Lord help us and guide us as we read from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 14 to continue approximately at the same spot where we stopped 7 weeks ago. And that is Matthew 14, verse 23. And let us read to the verse 33. Matthew 14, 23. I know that we did not receive from the Lord that miraculous gift of speaking in different languages without learning them, as the apostles did and some other disciples after them. But we surely received the grace of God and the blessing of having at least 3 languages around this small table today, which is Russian, Serbian, and English. And I see the books and the text of the scripture. I stand corrected. 4 languages, German too. I think that the ability and the privilege of reading the scripture in diverse languages is really helpful in our attempt to understand, to know what the meaning of the message is. But let us read now Matthew 14, verse 23. And when he had, that's the Lord Jesus, when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, O a truth, thou art the Son of God. This is the passage that I wanted us to read for the beginning of our devotions and meditations on the Word of God. But before we proceed further, let us take a moment for a prayer and supplication and thanksgiving to our Lord. O gracious and loving Heavenly Father, We thank Thee for Thy love. O Lord, we praise Thee for Thy goodness and mercy. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege of sharing Thy gospel among ourselves. We thank Thee, O Lord, for the presence of our few souls around Thy holy word, and we thank Thee for the prayers and thanksgiving for the others that might be listening to the message on the tape. We are thankful, O Heavenly Father, for Olga's presence in our midst, and we pray, O Lord, that we all together may be humbled by this privilege, and that we also might be lifted up in meekness with a humble heart to sit at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to hear His teaching. That we may, O Heavenly Father, worship our Lord and Savior. We pray that we may truly, sincerely worship Thee in the Son, and through the Son worship and love, O Lord, that we may love Thee. For again and again we are faced with the fact that as much as we would love to love Thee, as much as we at times feel that we do love Thee, it's only a very feeble echo of Thy wonderful and glorious love reaching our weak hearts. Gracious Lord, grant us the privilege and the blessing today that we, like Ezekiel standing out in the field, away from the sinful congregation of Israel that had the name of the people of God and yet were a den of thieves. Ezekiel standing out in the field saw Thy glory and fell upon his face, and at that moment was filled with the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of living and true testimonies to proclaim Thy holy word like a thunder and yet like a gentle and loving voice of an angel. O Heavenly Father, we pray. Teach us to pray. Teach us to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. Teach us to fall down upon our faces before Thy holy face and to cry unto Thee, woe is us, for we are of unclean lips and among the people that are filthy. That the heat from Thy heavenly altar, the coals upon which the sacrifice for our redemption has been offered, may touch our lips and bless us with that spiritual circumcision of tongue and heart and mind. We pray today, O Lord. Oh, we pray that the name of Christ be exalted in our hearts, in our minds. That Thy name, O Father, be glorified. That the flame of Thy holiness may purge away all impurities of ours, and the flame of Thy love fill our souls and our hearts with Thy presence, with the new life in Christ, that we may worship Thee, O God. That we may worship Thee in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a tempest, that we may see and hear Thy calm voice speaking the mighty word of Thine, peace be still. O grant us, Lord, that we may see the face of our Lord and Savior beaming with brightness of Thy glory from the cross, the face out of shape in grief and agony. Beyond description. And yet, not sufficiently yet, expressing the suffering of a heart broken with our sins. Oh, that we would know more of that love of thine, so pure, so holy. Purify thou us. Sanctify thou us. Deliver us from our own self, O God, and make us and keep us thine own, united in thee, one in the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of servitude, the Spirit of self-denial, the Spirit of sacrifice, the Spirit of measureless suffering, the Spirit of peace and joy, in thy peace and in thy joy. We pray in the name of Christ, for thy name's honor. Amen. In the verse 22, which we did not read together, the Lord Jesus constrained. He told his disciples, he almost compelled them to go. Get into the ship and go. Go before me to the other side of this lake, of this sea, while he sent the multitudes away. I wonder, why was that so necessary? It was a wonderful feast. Just a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish meat, and thousands were fed. Oh, how great, how wonderful. I think the disciples would be just jubilant to keep the remnants and just to hear the comments of the people. Oh, that was so wonderful, so great. This must be that Messiah. And look, these are his disciples. These are his apostles. And they just served us a great meal. And the Lord said, no, no. Get into that ship and get away. You are not going to feast upon the praises of the people. That's it. They got what they needed. They needed to eat something, lest they get weak and exhausted and so on. They got the food. We gave thanks to the Father. Now get into the ship and go on with your work. Was that mean? Why did he do that? Because he loved them. He loved them so much that he did not want them to be deceived by self-exaltation. I think that's why. But the Lord might have had much more than just this one reason. But this one just came across my mind, and I share that with you. Well, the Lord Jesus himself is going to be the one that is going to maintain the order in that big crowd. No, not Peter. No, not the sons of Zebedee. Not even the quiet Philip and Andrew. No. It's going to be the Lord Jesus himself. Whom he feeds, he is also going to rule and order. And we are all brethren. He is the head. So, the disciples are gone, and the Lord is sending the multitude away. The meeting is closed. It's over. You heard what I told you? Go on and keep it. Keep the word of God. Live godly life. And after that, he himself went up into a mountain apart to pray. Why was it necessary to go up into a mountain? Well, I guess in one way, our Lord Jesus here was homeless. No, he didn't have too much of a home of his own. So he went up into the mountain. But also, if he needed a mountain apart from the crowd to pray to the Lord, how much we ourselves must pray that the Lord will separate us from the crowd, that we might be able in our prayers to come close to the Lord. You see, crowd, you know, the world can be very distracting. it can be very distracting. Oh, even we among ourselves as Christians, as believers, we can also be distracting to one another. How often careless, how often hasty, how often impatient. And maybe I should be the last one to tell you that, but I'm standing here and sharing. I hope, by the grace of God, honestly, sincerely, that yes, we do distract one another. But I can also say that the company of fellow believers, the company of like-minded and united in the faith in Christ, brethren, brothers and sisters, is so precious, so encouraging, so helpful, so warming up, so wonderful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that, again, the Lord was far away, and He was there alone. How wonderful to be alone with the Father. All that is thine is mine, and mine is thine, the Lord Jesus said. Such a unity. Such submission to the Father. Such victorious submission. Such zeal. Such availability. Here am I. Send me. I want to do thy will, O God. So the disciples are gone, and the ship is on its way to the other side. The crowd is dispersed, and the Lord is in prayer, and the prayer time is over. He is coming to His disciples. Now we see here in the verse number 22 that the Lord sent the disciples to go, and He was not in the flesh present in the ship. He sent them away alone. Now the Lord Jesus Christ said to the disciples, I am never alone. The Father never leaves me alone. The Father is always with me. Since the Lord Jesus was not among the disciples in His body, was the Father with them? Well, the King David in one of his Psalms said, there is no place where God is not. God is everywhere. And yet, the ship was in the tempest. The wind, the waves. I'm not sure if there was anything else, if it was a real storm, or was it just the wind. It's difficult to imagine that there could be big waves and very boisterous, as we find it here in the old language, sea without wind. There must have been a wind. And the last line of verse 24 says, for the wind was contrary. It was not a wind moving them in their direction, but rather the opposite. Why was that so? Did the Lord allow this to happen? I would think so. Without His will, it could not have happened. But why did that happen? We know there was another storm. The Lord was in the ship. And the storm was, the wind was so strong, and the tempest, I keep saying storm, I mean tempest, was so strong that the disciples said, Lord, that's the end. Help us. Dost thou not care? Don't you care that we are going to capsize? We are going to fall into the water. And the Lord was asleep, and they woke Him up, and He didn't jump and say, oh, see, stop. No. He first said to the disciples, why are you so scared? As if He wanted to say, it's only a tempest, nothing else. They saw many of the tempests before. They're fishermen. They live on the water. Why were they so afraid? Well, this time they were in the tempest. You see, for us, as the disciples, perhaps we could call ourselves the Galilee of the Gentiles. in a way. Mixed group of people, all kind of people are in this country. And we here are from different backgrounds and different countries and so on. It's a different, entirely different situation. If I see somebody else in the tempest and I can say, oh, just trust the Lord and the Lord will take care of you and so on. But when I am in the tempest, when my ship is swinging back and forth, when the waves are coming, not against somebody else there, but right against me, that's a different situation. Do we have time to pray? I think that it's very important that we pray when the weather is peaceful, when we are not in a tempest. For we might be in the tempest when we think it's peaceful, as we are secured when the tempest is boisterous, when the weather is very turbulent. Only God knows what's going on. We really don't know. We see some signs and we estimate the situation, and we often think that everything is the way we feel. If I woke up fairly happy today and I feel all right, then probably life is all right. If I woke up with a headache and a running nose or something similar, oh, everything is crummy. We think that the life is the way we feel. Not necessarily. When we feel crummy, the Lord is waking up us to our need. He is making us aware that we need Him. And when we feel glad and in good health and in good mood and we are joyful and so on, perhaps it's a moment to thank the Lord and to ask Him, as in one of the Psalms we read some time ago, Lord, search my heart and know me. In other words, Lord, reveal to me, how do I look like in thy sight? Praise the Lord for His gifts. Wonderful. We have really many things to thank Him for. But then, let Him search our hearts and tell us what we are, who we are, where we are, what are we doing, how we are doing. Too loud. We remember in the beginning of the Gospel that our Lord Jesus Himself was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested. And now the disciples are ordered by the Lord to go across the sea to be tested. And as our Lord Jesus Christ in His testing and in His trials is teaching us, He is also teaching us in our testing and in our trials. He is going to teach the disciples who they are, what they are, and how they are doing. If there were no trials, no testing, all of us would be fallen down in pride. You see. But because we are tested, we see our weaknesses and we see our need for prayers and we see our dependence on the Lord. And let's be honest, we don't see it as clearly and as much as we should. Only God knows how weak we are and how much we lack, how much more we need. Well, we read not very long ago in the Serbian language that the Lord was so thankful and so glad. He said to the Heavenly Father, I praise thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid this gospel from those that are wise and prudent and high class, and thou hast given it to the babes, to the simple, to the small, to those that depend on the Lord and His loving and care. So there is a ship, and ship is in the midst of the sea, and that's very typical for us. When we have difficult time, it looks like we are so far from the shore, and the Lord is far away, and everything is awful and terrible and threatening, and no encouragement. And the ship is leaning toward one side, and another wave comes from that side, and the ship is filling with the water, and shaking, and the disciples don't know what to do. The wind is contrary. Everything is against me. What shall I do now? In the fourth watch, now you can calculate, the fourth watch is almost the morning, almost the end of the night. There is the first watch, evening, second watch before midnight, third watch after midnight, fourth watch before the morning. In the fourth watch, throughout the night, they are struggling, they are battling, they are exhausted. If I had I think for me, not the whole night, but just a few minutes would be exhausting and so discouraging. I'm just not used to struggling with tempestuous sea. But spiritually, yes, the Lord did show His presence so many times in the midst of the tempest. And yes, quite a few times, just like the disciples here, I was afraid of what I should have appreciated, the help of the Lord. Not seeing exactly in what way the Lord is helping. But it was still night. It was not the day yet. And they see in some distance a figure of a man coming and not swimming, not in another ship, but walking above the water. And it's night. And they are afraid. And now I wonder, here we read in the verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him, did they see him, Jesus? Or they saw him and did not know that that was the Lord Jesus? Obviously they did not know. And they see him walking, but they don't know it's him. They were troubled, saying it is a spirit. Now suppose that it was a spirit, why is that a trouble? What is the spirit going to do to them? Why are they scared from a spirit? Perhaps at that time they did not know yet, they have not learned yet about the Spirit of the Lord, as they received him later on. Maybe they were ignorant that the Spirit of God is a wonderful association or a wonderful fellowship. If you see the Spirit of God coming to you, receive him with an open heart. Well, they did not know who it was. And we all of us human beings are afraid of unknown. We are afraid of something we know not. Why the Lord Jesus was not afraid? Because he was not ignorant. He had the knowledge. He knew the Father has his will in this. And that will be accomplished. And he, the Lord Jesus Christ, facing an instant disaster, the most awful disaster that ever happened in the history of the universe. Is it right to call it disaster? A terrible thing. Suffering on Golgotha. He's facing that. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. And he knows that. In a way, he's afraid of that because it's so terrible. On the other hand, he's not scared. He's calm. Suffering calmly means suffering with the strength of God in us.
suffering fear, trembling, shaking, being scared, confused. That means suffering in my own strength without the help of God. So the ship is in the midst of the sea. It's tossing, it's jumping from wave to wave, between the waves, falling down, jumping up. And they look. There is no help from anywhere. And there comes a threat. A spirit is coming. Why that spirit has to come to us? Don't we have enough trouble right now? And they said, it is a spirit. And they say to one another, spirit, spirit, spirit. And as they scare one another more and more with their own fear, and they multiply their fear, they come to a point that they're screaming. They're so scared that they are yelling, shouting for fear. Did the Lord Jesus shout more so they could hear him? Apparently not. He just spake to them. And through their noise, they still heard the voice of the Lord. Isn't that amazing? But that's also wonderful. It's wonderful that the Word of God, from the lips of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as quiet, as soft, as gentle, is so powerful that it can penetrate to our own noise and reach our ears and our mind and our heart. And what did he say? He didn't tell him a long story. You're wrong. Why are you afraid of a spirit? What can a spirit do to you if you're not subject to the spirit? And this and that. He could have given them a long lesson, standing above the water and the ship jumping and turning back and forth and so on. But he did not. He said a short lesson. Be of good cheer. You should not be afraid. Be not afraid. I'm not bringing a threat to you. I'm bringing help. And as soon as that awful fear that had such a strong grip on their heart a moment ago, as soon as that fear is over, Peter is right back. He is Peter again. And he says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Would it be better if Peter said, Lord, since it is thou, or since it is you, we are happy to have you in our midst. Come on in. No, Peter says, Lord, if it be thou, bid me, tell me, command me to come up over the water to thee. Why did he want that? Well, if the Lord Jesus is going to be the king, we want to be right there next to his throne. The sons of Zebedee asked for that. And the Lord said, no. No, you don't even know what you're asking. Whenever we ask some honor for ourselves, some recognition for ourselves, whenever we ask for some opportunity to be bigger and better and ahead of the others, we don't know what we ask. We ask for trouble. And the Lord did not deny. You see, this petition, this request from Peter was conditional. Lord, if it be thou. And the Lord did not deny it. Yes, it is I, he said. Be not afraid. And when Peter asked this, the Lord said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship and down to the water. He touched the water and the water was hard. He was walking on the water, as safer than one of us could walk on ice. It was firm. Still waves. Everything is moving, everything is shifting. I don't know what kind of a feeling is that to walk on something that is shifting. But I imagine, I don't know if that is true, or did I get this impression for some false pictures of some artists, but it seemed to me that the Lord Jesus Christ was walking on the water, above the water, not necessarily leaning hard on the water. But he knows how he was walking. In any case, the disciples were watching, and he was walking above the water, and he was coming. And now Peter is doing the same thing. But you see, even though Peter is walking toward the bodily presence, or to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was walking in the opposite direction. The Lord Jesus is coming toward the ship, and Peter is going out to meet him. And Peter walked a few steps, just like a child that made first steps without help. But the wind was strong, and the waves were high. How did he see that? You see, when he got out of the ship and he got down to the water and he was walking on the water as the Lord did, and he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ, and the winds are coming and the sea is roaring, and he looked left and he looked right. And the more he looked around, the more terrible it appeared to be if he looked at the face of the Lord all the time. The waves would not have been that big and strong. That's human life. So Peter saw the wind and he saw the waves and he was afraid. And because he was afraid, he was unable to keep in himself the power that the Lord is giving to be above. He immediately began to sink, to fall down. Now he was afraid even more. You see, one fear generates another, or some fear generates more fear. But the Lord is teaching us that true faith generates more faith. And sincere love gives more love. And when we know the truth of God, if we really know the truth of God, we learn more and more. So, he cried, and a good thing that he cried. It's so good that he cried. He needed that. It's much better. I think that I might be wrong in a way. I'm just another man. But you listen to this and judge. When Peter cried in fear, was that better than when he requested something in pride? I think it was. It was much more helpful. You see, when he said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Why did he need it? Was there anything in that direction? Where did he want to go? He just wanted to show that he can do something that the other disciples cannot. Again, I might not be right in this, but I think that's what the situation was. So, when he cried, "Lord, save me," that was the proper cry. That was the right word. That's what we need. We don't need to be above the disciples. We need to be below our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Immediately, our Lord Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him by the hand, I think, and said unto him, "Oh, thou of little faith, a man of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Now all of this happened while the tempest is still going on. The waves are still beating. The wind is blowing. And the disciples hear the word of the Lord. And they see Peter and they see the Lord. And they realize the difference between themselves and the Lord. Let us beware of being lords to one another. Let us be disciples of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, lest we sink into deep waves. But if we do, just cry unto the Lord. He will deliver. He will also rebuke. He will also correct, because he loves us. He is so patient. While he cleanseth us from the dross. And as they came into the ship, the wind ceased. You see how the tempest and the absence of the Lord in a congregation is synchronized, it comes at the same time. Does that mean that the faithful ones will never experience the tempest in their congregations? Oh yes, because hardly ever in this world the faithful ones were all alone. They always have a good company of the faithless ones. And also those that are faithful at times were not faithful. So no wonder we had a tempest and we had testings and trials. Oh, how we need them. We surely need them. When the Lord came into the ship, bringing Peter by the hand, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now, they are all in the ship. The Lord is in the ship, Peter is in the ship, and the other disciples are in the ship. But they that were in the ship all the time, they came and worshipped the Lord and said, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." What did Peter say? I think he was quiet. It's so good. If we said something wrong, let's be quiet for a while and think about that and be careful not to make more mistakes. I think the Lord wants us to realize when something is wrong, well, I did it. I'm sorry. I want to be careful. Another thing here. It's so good. It's wonderful to see the Lord as he controls everything, and the wind and the waves and everything is under his control and everything has to obey his command. It's great to see that. To see the Lord in all of that. But the Lord wants us to grow. And he wants us to see him while the tempest is going on. He wants us to know that when the things seem to be very difficult, when there are threats from every side, when we have to suffer, he wants us to see him. Where is he then? Where is the Lord when we suffer? He's suffering more. Yeah? He is suffering more. He is suffering because his own are suffering, but he is also suffering because we don't see him. It's so sad. Did you ever have that experience to some extent at least? That some of the people you love, some of the persons you want to help, and you are around them, and perhaps you're all over them trying to help, and they just ignore you. They just don't pay attention to you because they hate that suffering. And even your help is not welcome. No. The Lord does not want us to be like that. He wants us to see him in our suffering and to know, if he allowed me to suffer this, he is suffering more than I. It's always like that. If there is burden to bear, it's only a smaller portion. The main burden, the most difficult burden, he is carrying. He takes care of that. That's the Lord that we have. That's the Savior that the Father loves so much, they never part one from the other. Even when they were on two sides of the judgment, one as the judge and the other as the judged on the cross. When our Lord cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe that even that moment, they were united in suffering. You know that suffering is so precious in the sight of God, and the suffering of his children is precious in his sight. When we suffer with Him, He is making us as pure as gold. Not the perishable or corruptible gold on this earth, but He is making us as gold, similar to that gold of which He made the streets of the heavenly Jerusalem. He is making us ready for the mansions above. So they worshipped Him and they realized the truth. He is the Son of God. It's necessary that we do the same. It's very important that we know Jesus Christ, the crucified, the resurrected, is the Son of God. Can we worship Him? Can we worship Him by being, or at least getting, crucified with Him to the world and sin, and the world and sin to us? And from this moment on, to have fellowship with Him and Him alone. So, they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And the men of that place, when they found out, Jesus of Nazareth is here, that great prophet is here again, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto Him all that were diseased. Now look a few chapters back. Just look a few chapters back. Isn't this the same country where the man in whom was the legion of evil spirit was healed, and the whole herd of pigs was destroyed in water? And what the people did, they came and they said to the Lord Jesus, please, just get out of this place. Just leave us alone. Depart from us. And the man that was healed said to the Lord, Lord, I want to be with You. I want to go with You. I really have nothing in this place. You know, these people don't desire You here. And the Lord said, No. You go back. Go back to your home. Go back to your family. And tell them how the Lord was gracious unto you. And the man obeyed. Perhaps heavy-hearted. He went to face the people that were against the Lord. But look what happened. The people turned around. When they realized that the gain of having a healed brother is greater than the loss of the pigs that they shouldn't have had anyway, they realized that the Lord Jesus is bringing to them healing. And now, even though they were not by name appointed as the 12 disciples were, including Judas Iscariot, even though they were not officially, as we might say in the modern language, they were not officially named as the Lord's disciples, they are His disciples. Through the healed man, I think, they became the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment they saw Him coming, they broadcast, they tell everybody, everybody come here. Our healing, our deliverance, our salvation is here. Everybody come. And they besought Him that they might only touch the hem of His garment. As many as touched were made perfectly whole. This being the truth, I wonder if I ever touched the hem of His garment, because I know I'm so imperfect. So imperfect. But praise the Lord for His goodness and grace. Even in our weakness, His grace is revealed so wonderfully. Blessed be the name of God, our Savior.